Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody this morning. And hopefully we got a good bit on YouTube this morning. But it's good to see all the home folk and all the ones in church today. Let's stand and turn to page 212. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice until the rapture's all abroad. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy bond that seals my vow to Him who buries all my love. The cheerful anthems fill His house, for He's the sacred shining moon. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He's done this great transaction done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He drew me in, I followed on. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Now rest my long, divided heart fixed on this blessed fit for grace. Never come my Lord's depart with Him who ever good possess. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Amen. Let's go in, Lord, in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to be back in Your house again this morning, Lord. And hopefully we got some YouTube followers, Lord. But I'm just glad to see the ones in the house today, Lord, the faithful ones that come. And I thank You for them, Lord, and thank You for this church, and thank You for You, Lord. And just be with Brother Jeff today as he brings us Your message, and just touch his heart, Lord, and just fill his heart with Your Spirit, and allow it to touch our hearts, Lord. And just anyone that's not saved or not right, Lord, and just let them not go through them doors without getting right, Lord. And just ones watching on YouTube, Lord, and just the same for them. And we thank You for this weather and the safety for it, Lord. Just the heat, and we got a lot that works through it, Lord. And just thank You for the safety through it, Lord. And just thank You for everything You do for us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all may be seated. Let's turn to page 205. He keeps me singing.
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace, peace. keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. This scar filled my heart with pain. Jesus wept across the broken strings, stirred the stumbling chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath the sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face, blessed cry, shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. On the last, soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight through worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Appreciate everyone coming. Listen, thankful for your faithfulness, thankful for just helping out. Don't get to the point that we get complacent with everything going on. Appreciate everyone coming in, going to our seats, getting everything done. It's kind of hard to get everything moving and doing, but yet I'm thankful we're able to do that, and I appreciate it. Of course, they're still recommending social distancing. Mask is optional to you. I don't care if you want to wear one, wear one. If you don't, you don't. If you can breathe through it, it's probably not doing a lot of good for anyone else. Just being honest with you. If you can breathe through it, well, you say, preacher, what's the best mask that you recommend? A Walmart bag. Amen. And a rubber band. Amen. That would be the best mask you could use. Not so good for you, but that would be the best one to protect everyone. Amen. But say, preacher, what's the next best? Well, I really don't know, because if you're going to go for second, it might as well go for none. Amen. Second means first loser. Just remember that. Amen. So anyway, I want to thank everyone for coming. Do ask you to continue to pray for the church, the safety of it, the direction for us. Pray for this month. You say, preacher, what's so important about this month? Well, it's missions. We're going to focus on missions all month. Next month will be our actual faith promise month, but yet, we're going to have everything already in place, and do pray for missionaries. Did get a letter from Brother Glenn Bond's family, and just letting us know what all's going on with the ministry. And I hate to say that they're going to go ahead and dissolve the ministry as of the end of this year. And that breaks my heart, because that was a ministry that was used to reach others for Christ. And so you pray for that family and through this time. I think really that's all the announcements we have. We've got several birthdays this week. I know Brother Duke's probably asleep. In fact, he had told Jeremiah he's hoping to be asleep still. So if he's still asleep, he can watch this later. But then Brianna's got a birthday this week, same day. Amen. So I didn't realize Brianna was that old or Brother Duke was that young. I'm not sure how we want to work that. But their birthday's the same day. They're the same age. Amen. And then Sister Hope's is a few days later. So let's sing happy birthday to them. You say, preacher, I know they're not here. Well, that's the unique thing about YouTube. Amen. They might be here. We just can't see them. Amen. So let's sing happy birthday to them. Sing it like they're here, all right? Actually, I guess you'd probably speak louder if we sang it if they're not here. Amen. All right, so don't forget, Brianna's old enough now that she can enjoy this too. All right, here you go. Happy birthday to y'all. Happy birthday to y'all. Happy birthday. God bless y'all. Happy birthday to y'all. Amen. And I'm going to go ahead and be a blessing to someone. Brother Scooter, your anniversary is not this coming Friday, but the following, all right? The 18th. The 18th. I'm just letting you know ahead of time because she's sitting right by you. I've seen you walk in with a cane, seen you with a black eye, all right? I've seen you with cracked ribs. I'm just letting you know. The 18th. Amen. Brother, I'll send you a text. Amen. All right, brother, you got another one?
All right. Let's stand and turn to page 44. We'll work till Jesus comes.
Amen. Talk about a blessing. I'm thankful to see 84 is a high, a little chance of rain, and that's all right. We could use some rain. I'm just thankful for how God provides and does for us, and boy, He always meets our needs and knows exactly what we need when we do, when He provides it. How often move on, can't go any further. Those that have had to be outside, it's on. It's just taking a second to get there. And gets us to that point that it's like, boy, we just can't go anymore and can't go anymore. And then we just get a breath of fresh air. That's really, we get spiritually wore down. That's how God works. We get weary and well-doing, and He says, don't give up yet. Don't give up the fight. I'm still with you. And boy, I'm thankful He gives us a drink of fresh. We're able to come, and some would say it's into His field of grace. And I'm thankful for that. If you would take your Bibles this morning, turn over to the book of John, chapter number 6. I shared with you and at the end of last month and Wednesday night and even this morning, and we're going to focus on missions this whole month. In fact, I plan, now God can change that, but I plan on 8 messages of nothing but missions. You say, preacher, that's a whole lot of missions. Is missions really that important? I believe we could probably have every message about missions, and we haven't got it enough in our own heart. And remember that missions isn't just abroad. There are those that are out there that believe that missions is only home. And there's those that believe that missions is only abroad. And there's, well, I believe that God said that we're to reach all the world. That means that they would be home and abroad.
And we're to give the gospel to every creature. And that wasn't given to some convention. That wasn't given to some organization to go out except the organization of the church. And it's our responsibility, and we've been given such a great treasure of the gospel. You know, there's churches everywhere. In every nation and every people have a God. The only problem is not all of them have the right God. I think about the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts as he had came there to Athens and was so distraught in the fact that they're worshiping to an unknown God. May I tell you, there's many like that still today. They're worshiping to an unknown God. They might have even given him a name, but they don't really know who he is. And may I tell you, most of them are a God that can't really help them. And so we're going to focus on missions. And I really want this month to be a time where you don't look at missions in this idea of, well, what's God going to want of me? Instead, I want you to focus on what you would want God to do with you. And that's really what it's about. It's not so much about, well, what's God going to want from me? Instead, I'd rather be that one that wants to be the one willing to do whatever God wants. Instead, I'd rather God reveal to me some things this month that He wants me to do through missions. And, of course, faith promise missions being one of those. John chapter number 6, going to read a familiar passage, if you would, when you get there. Let's stand. John 6 and verse number 1 is where I want us to start. Of course, this is the feeding of the 5,000. Very familiar passage of Scripture to most. And I don't want you to go ahead and think that you already know everything that's going to be said. Let God speak to you today. So many times we come to a familiar passage and we think that we already have heard it enough. And we kind of block out what God's speaking to us about. So don't come in that place today. John 6 and verse number 1, it says, "After these things Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Look at verse 6. "And this he said to prove him, for he knew himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that the prophet that should come into the world." Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy that you give us. And Lord, how grateful we are to be your child today. But Lord, have we came to the place that we're selfish with what you've given us? We're selfish with the gospel that saved us. And Lord, we've held it back. And Father, we've rejoiced in what you've done in our life, but Father, we haven't shared with others through you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us today, that we would truly set our heart towards missions this month. And Lord, that this would be started today, that we would just have it on our mind and we would meditate and chew on it and pray on it, Lord, that you could receive the glory for it. And Father, I pray, meet with us this morning. Maybe there's one that's here today. Maybe there's one that's listening through the internet, Lord, that would be able to say, I do not know where I'm going to spend eternity. Lord, that they would come to that place today, that they could rejoice in the salvation that you've given, that's so free. And Lord, that so many fail to see their need. Lord, I pray you'd open eyes today. I pray that you'd speak to hearts. And Lord, I pray that you'd receive all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We get started here this month about missions. I want to remind you that it's not about money. So often people think that missions, well, that's we're going to be talking about money. We're going to be talking about needs that we have and money that's going to need to be spent. And it's not a pledge. I'm not St. Jude's up here. I'm not Jerry Lewis trying to get you to pledge in some money. It's not PBS. I'm not going to entertain you and then have you call in. And it's not about that. It's not about trying to raise an amount. We're not a school program that's trying to raise funds. We're not some membership dues to be involved. That's not what this is. This is Faith Promise Missions. This is God laying an amount on your heart that you're going to be obedient, that He's going to supply, and you're going to give. And God's going to do this, and He's going to show the way, and He's going to satisfy through it. How many times have we ever volunteered our only? It's one thing to say that we've got enough that we can share. But how many times have we ever volunteered the only amount that we have? I think about the widow woman with two mites. Jesus had said that she had given more than all of those because they had given out of their abundance and she had given out of her want. That was all she had. That was the only amount that she had. You say, preacher, are you expecting me to give everything? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I want us to think about this little boy. And the Bible tells us that he was a lad. And he didn't have... Now, at one time he might have had 6 loaves and 3 small fishes. I don't know. He started out and they had already been there through the day and they had had some time there. It could have been the fact that he had already got in and nibbled on some. I don't know. But I do know that the only amount that he had left was 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. That's what the Bible tells us. And with that, that was it. He didn't say, all right, Lord, you're going to need 4 and 1. And I'm willing to give 4 and 1, but I'm going to keep for me. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? So many times we limit God because He gave him this so that he could use it to bring glory. Now, you say, preacher, that small boy, I mean, look at how he's been glorified. No, that boy hasn't been glorified at all. What's his name? That's it. No one has ever known his name. You know, isn't it amazing in the Baptist church, people want to know how much I do? I'm not talking about me as the pastor, but I'm serious. So often we find people, and it's not just in the Baptist church, it's just, I'm a Baptist, so I'm going to preach about people in the Baptist church. I know them. That's right. Amen. And so, you know, so often we want, hey, look, I've got the Sunday school badge. I've got the High Achievement Award. I've got the most concern for missionaries. Look at how many I know and how... No, whatever. This boy, it wasn't about him at all. But it was about what God would do if he would just be willing. Could you imagine if the Bible said, well, here's a boy with 5 loaves of barley and 2 small fish. And there's 5,000 people that are licking their chops. And the boy didn't give a thing. Now, may I enlighten you on something? Jesus could have turned the stones into bread. He could have. It's not because you're special. It's because He is. You see, your 5 barley loaves and 2 fish really aren't nothing. until he has it. You see, this is the mistake that we make. We think that God needs us to be successful. No, we need him because we're nothing. And so God is showing us that we can be a part. We should come to that place that we want to be like this little lad. I want to have a part of feeding 5,000 people. You say, preacher, that's just not for me. I mean, they're not even going to be grateful. How many of those out of that 5,000? Now listen, this was just 5,000 men. I don't know. I'm not one of the great theologians that's out there today that knows and can go back into history and tell you how they would have acted, but not one time in Scripture do I find it recorded that any of them said thank you. I don't find them saying thank you to the Lord, and I don't find them saying thank you to the lad. Hey, boy, I am sure glad you gave up those 5 barley loaves and those 2 small fishes that we could be fed. I don't see that. And so we'd say, well, preacher, I don't want to be a part of feeding those 5,000. They're not even going to be grateful. Amen. May I just tell you a fact is a lot of times people aren't grateful. But the lad didn't do it for the 5,000. Say, preacher, what do you mean he didn't do it for the 5,000? He did it because the master had a need. He did it for the master, not for the 5,000. And so we look at his directives, we look at his desires, we look at all that he had in his hands was enough for him. And so this boy said, all right, not only am I going to give you the last that I have or the only that I have, it's not going to be rotten, but it's going to be fresh. You say, preacher, how do you know that they were fresh? Well, because the boy had them and they were ready to eat. They weren't rotten. I don't find in Scripture that these needed to be changed from their condition. They just needed to be multiplied. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give us secondhand? Now listen, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with secondhand. I'm fine with Goodwill. I'm fine with Salvation Army, although I'm not necessarily fine with the structures of them, but I'm fine with thrift stores. All right, I guess what I'm getting at is I don't believe that Goodwill's non-profit for anything. They make a whole lot of profit. Red Cross makes a whole lot of profit. Amen. That's a whole different message. But nonetheless, look it up. It should make you ashamed. But the truth of the matter is God gives us His best. You know what this boy gave? His best. Now, they weren't as fresh as when they came out of the oven. They weren't as fresh as when they were first caught. But may I tell you, they were the best that that boy had. And he was willing to give it. It wasn't the fact that I'll give you the tail end, or I'll give you the head, I'll give you the ends, the heels of the loaf. They've even gotten skimpy with those. You ever notice some of the bread, they don't even cut it right anymore. It's like the loaf's that, or the heels that thick at the bottom and that thick at the top. Doesn't even make sense. They can't even cut a heel right. He didn't say, I'll give you the heels. And Jeremiah would tell you that there's no need for the crust. Sometimes he'll eat crust, sometimes he won't. You toast it, forget it, crust off. You give him bread and butter, sometimes he'll take the crust and then tear it off later. You see, this boy gave his best. And so we look and we think about what God wants from us. You say, preacher, it's always about what he wants from us. No, it's about what I can do with him. I'd like to take you over to the parallel over in the book of Mark, Mark chapter number 6. In Mark chapter number 6, I want you to look at verse number 30. And we find here the parallel account, or the account written in the book of Mark. It is written in all 4 gospel accounts. And it's such a familiar passage of Scripture that we kind of lose sight of it. I want to bring you to some of the previous events or leading up to this time. The disciples had just returned from preaching. They had been sent out and they had returned from preaching. Boy, they're rejoicing in what's been done. But may I tell you, they're weary. My hardest day, even when I was working a secular job, my hardest day was Sunday. You say, preacher, it should be a lot easier now. You don't have Sunday school. You just have Sunday morning and Sunday night right now. And we're not going to the nursing home in the afternoon. May I tell you that Sunday is still my hardest day. When God uses you and you begin to preach, and I can't explain it, it's not because I'm great, it's because He's more powerful than I am. It's kind of like when Jeremiah had said that he had been deceived, because God is so much greater, and the power and the energy that goes out to preach, I don't know how in the world someone can do it to where they just, I don't know, maybe it's in the flesh. But my flesh sure gets wore out on Sundays. And they were tired. John the Baptist had just died, and Jesus has taken his disciples for a rest. Notice, if you would, in Mark chapter number 6, verse number 30. And said, "And when the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both that they had done and what they had taught, and he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much," notice this, "as to eat." Go on down, look at verse 32. "And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past." And so we understand here the setting of what's going on. The disciples are wore out. They hadn't even had time to eat in all of their work. They had just been busy. Jesus said, "Let's go and rest." And may I tell you, when they show up and there's 5,000 people waiting on you, you know how much rest they got? Yeah, zero. It was time to stay working, keep going. We've got work to do, and so, we'll work till Jesus comes. And there they were, "We'll work till Jesus says we're not gonna." And so they're out there working, and they come to that place, and they say, "But, you know, it's far spent. What are we gonna do for them?" You know what they never said? "I want to be part of feeding 5,000. If we were to read on down into Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account, Jesus tells the disciples, "Give ye them to eat." But you know what they never said? "Let me be a part of feeding 5,000. And I wonder how many times we've ever looked and said, "Let me be a part of feeding this world with the truth." You know what really needs to be given to the world? It's not a COVID virus vaccine. I mean, really, that's not the problem. It's not the fact that we've got to produce this vaccine and, boy, save them from COVID, because they're going to die of something. And what we really need to give them is the truth, the gospel, because everyone needs it. Amen. And so I would ask us today, if we're willing to put it in the Lord's hands and let Him use us to feed the 5,000. That's what this little boy did. He said, "Here, Lord, it's yours. Feed the multitude." He said, "Preacher, how are we going to do that?" Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's first of all start off in I want you to stay in Mark, and we're going to kind of flip back and forth, but there should be an inspection of the problem. Inspection of the problem. May I tell you, the same people that were back in Jesus' day are the same people that we have today. The same problem with them. You say, "Preacher, I mean, they were sick. We don't have leprous colonies." Now there are. Maybe not here in America, but there are leprous colonies out there still today. And we were going to the farm yesterday, and we were talking. One of the songs that we were listening to had about the man with palsy. And we were talking to Jeremiah, and he wanted to know who palsy was. And so we were explaining to him. Now, it's hard to explain to a 4-year-old or almost 5-year-old what Paul's is versus who Paul's is. Amen. And we're telling him that, you know, this is this man that cannot walk. And these four men had taken him to Jesus. And he said, well, he could have watched him on his phone. And said, well, you know, they didn't have that back then. They needed to get him to him. And begin to describe it to him and explain it to him. And he said, well, do we have people today with palsy? I said, yeah, we don't call it the same. But they're the same condition. They can't walk. They can't do. It's a nervous condition. They just have no control of their limbs. And the same problems. You say, preacher, I mean, we've got all these physical needs. Well, that's really the problem that people think that we can identify with. But may I tell you, man's always been the same. We all have that sin nature. We're all in Adam's design. And we have Adam's sin nature in us. We are born sinners. And so as we consider the problem that they had, the great need that they had was they needed some help. They needed some help. Is there anyone around that needs help today? I mean, we've got all of these programs and plans and government assistance and all of these thoughts about how we're going to help the world. And Jesus isn't in most of them. Their help. Notice back over here at Mark chapter number 6. Look at verse number 32 and 33. It tells us here, and they departed, speaking about Jesus and the disciples, into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. Now, Jesus was touching their physical needs. Why? If you're holding in both places, flip over to John 6. Now, don't lose your place in Mark 6, but look at John 6. Look at verse number 2. And the great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, why were they so desperate for Jesus? They saw what he could do. You know, one of the problems that we have today, and the reason that people do not, they're not desperate for the Lord. They're not desperate for Jesus. I mean, honestly, we see churches everywhere. And then churches are trying to be creative and constructive and trying to go out and see how they can lure folks in. You know what we need to give them? A desire for Jesus. That they would see that He's more than just a lucky charm. That He's more than something that you wear around just in case. That there's more to Him. Hey, listen. He's not the bondage or the baggage that we carry around. Instead, He's the liberator from it. The problem that people have today is who they think or who they say that Jesus is. You see, they're looking for someone to get them out of the situations. May I tell you that Jesus is the great physical healer, but He's really the great spiritual healer. The great need that everyone has is all the same. Every one of us is going to spend a time where we're going to be faced with the decision to choose. By the way, God sends no one to hell. They have to choose. And so what we need to do is teach them. I wonder why most today haven't seen what He can do. Why most today want Him to just be someone that they carry in their back pocket, that spare tire that sits in their trunk. And yet I remind you of Matthew 6 and verse number 33 where it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, I've met some people. I was just reading in my office this morning, Brother Edward Fort had sent his prayer letter. And he said that, you know, the Bible teaches us that when we go through tribulations, we should give glory to God. And the first paragraph he's talking about that he was driving down the road and his window fell out of his car, his side window. So he put in a new window motor, put in a new glass. And then, I mean, it, it, it was one thing after another. He was in Alaska for his son's wedding, and he had been in a car accident, and his attorney dropped it, dropped his case just out of the blue. And the only thing that he could put was glory, 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 glory. But I mean, it was just one thing after another, after another, after another. And that's what people think that they need Jesus for. But may I tell you, as much as we need Him for those storms, I'm thankful that we have Him when the sun's shining. I want Him all the time. Take your Bibles, if you would. I know I've got you in a couple of places. Mark 6 and John 6 aren't hard to get to, but take your Bibles, turn over to Isaiah, chapter number 53. As we're turning over there, I can't help but remember that this is where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading when Philip comes to his chariot in the book of Acts. And this Ethiopian eunuch is reading this account and would ask the same thing that most would ask today. Who's he speaking of? Is Isaiah speaking of himself or someone else? And I'm thankful he's speaking of Jesus. A picture of Christ here at the cross. In Isaiah 53, I want you to look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." May I tell you that Hollywood has tried to pervert my Savior. They've tried to make him as some image that others would flock to because of his looks. May I tell you that there was no physical attraction. There was no desire physically for him. On over into verse 3. He says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we did as it were our faces." I'm sorry, "We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Skip on down, if you would, to verse number 9. "And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Boy, I'm thankful. Listen to me. This was God's plan from the very beginning. He came because we had a need, not a physical infirmity, but because instead we had a spiritual iniquity that was on us. And so I find their help, but then I find as well their heading. Their heading over here in Mark 6 and verse number 34, the Bible tells us that they had ran out. They were coming to Him. They ran to see what He could do for them. Does that not sound familiar today? I don't want the Lord unless He can do something for me. But can I tell you, after they had been touched by Him, they remained to see what He would do in them. There was a change. There was a desire. You say, preacher, how do you know that they had changed, that they had stayed? Because He was no longer healing in verse number 34, but the very end says, and He began to teach them many things. You say, preacher, what was going on? I picture it just like I'd find in Luke chapter number 10. When Jesus had came to Martha and Mary's house and Lazarus' house, and He was there, and Martha was busy serving, and she had said, Lord, I'm busy serving You, but Mary, my sister, she's doing nothing. She's just sitting down there listening to You. In verse number 39 of Luke chapter 10, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? You see, Martha had wanted Jesus to tell Mary to go and help serve. And Jesus told her in verse number 42, He said, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Can you picture this for a moment? There's 5,000 men plus women and children here in this group. I'm not talking about a group this size. I'm talking about a multitude. In fact, Jesus had said it was a great company. He looked up and seen that there was a great company. 5,000, that's more than the population of Pembroke, is all present, plus women and children. Can you imagine what's taking place? I see them all sitting around. Now, they're not all organized yet, but they're all sitting around. And boy, every time someone comes up, I can see old Billy nudging Bob and saying, hey, I was just like that man. Oh, sees him coming up there, a great need in his life, and Jesus touches him. Woo! Old Billy and Bob begin to shout a little bit. They get excited because Jesus is doing the same thing for that man, just like He had done for them. And they are reminded of what He had done in their life and how great He's been to them as a Savior. And you'd say, preacher, they just got saved. That's usually the sad part. That's usually when someone's excited. And I find here that they begin to worship Him. You can say, how's that? Because every time that they've seen someone come, it might have not been the same afflictions that they had. It might have not been the same problems that they had. But may I tell you, it was the same compassion that He had for them. And so I find their heading had changed. Notice as well, I find the insufficiency of the people. Back over here in our text in John chapter number 6, we find in verse number 5 that Jesus simply asks Peter, or Philip, He says, where are we going to buy this bread? Where are we going to get enough to feed them? And so I find the insufficiency of the people. The Bible tells us over in the book of Mark chapter number 6 that they had nothing to eat. In Mark 6:36, it simply said that let's send them away so that they can go into the villages that are nearby and they can buy for themselves, for they had nothing to eat. So I find the audience there, they were helpless. We could look at their leaving. They weren't worried about eating, were they? They were worried about getting the help. I wonder what our appetites are today. I wonder about our desires. I wonder why we're not really hungry for righteousness. What's the Bible say? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I wonder why there's not so many people filled today. You see, the audience, they weren't worried about that. Hey, I need to get to Him. They weren't worried about their stomach. They had nothing. They were helpless. You know how we are still today? You say, preacher, I'm saved. Yep, but you're still helpless without Him. Everything you have. The Bible tells us that every good gift comes from above. Everything that I have, my Father takes care of me. You say, but preacher, you've got this, you've worked hard for this, and you've been able to get this, and you've done this. And listen, everything that I have, God gave me. And everything that I have, God can take away from me. Because it's not mine, it's His. And so then I find the apostles. You say, preacher, I mean, they're right there by him. Now listen, there's a thought that I had with this, because I read to you in Mark chapter number 6, and the Bible tells us that they had been out and they'd been preaching and they'd been doing all of this work, and they hadn't even had time to eat. Now think about this. Jesus took them to go rest. Beg my pardon here, but wouldn't that also involve eating? They hadn't eaten. It's mentioned in Scripture so that we could kind of draw back to it. Because I want you to think about something for a moment. There's a reason they didn't have anything either. Now, wouldn't you have thought that if they're going to need rest, they're also going to need something to eat they haven't eaten? I'm not going to preach it to you yet. I'm going to preach it to you tonight, but I want you to think about that. They had nothing either. Nothing. They didn't even have a Snickers. I mean, can you imagine they just loaded the ship? And it wasn't some cruise liner. All right? They didn't have the buffet spread out. They didn't have meals. Nope. I guarantee you, those boys would have chomped on some dry barley. Didn't need it to be cooked. They would have just eaten whatever they could have got a hold of. I said, preacher, how do you know that? I've been hungry. I know what it is to be hungry. Terry, you ever eat an ant? It's okay. You just got to pull the legs off. All right. I wouldn't recommend a fire ant, but the little bigger black ones, just pull their legs off. It keeps them, for one, keeps them from wanting to climb back up. But for two, the legs will scratch your throat. So pull the legs off. You say, preacher, what in the world are you teaching your children to eat bugs? I've been hungry. I know what it is to be hungry. And I know how to survive. It's not that bad, is it, Jacob? Jacob hasn't eaten bugs. But listen, they didn't have anything. They had nothing left to give the people. I wonder how many times in our lives we've had nothing left to give the people. How many times we've already spent it and haven't been able to. I'm not talking about financially. I'm just talking about being spent. You know what I mean? So wore out that we're not able to be good for the Lord. I wonder how many times we get our priorities out of whack, that we've already spent all of our time, all of our talents, all of our treasures in our own direction and not for the Lord. And so I find the insufficiency of the people. They had nothing. What were they going to do? Hey, where are we going to get this? They didn't even have the money to rub together to go. I mean, 200 penny worth. And I really, once again, I'm not one of those great theologians that can tell you how many penny worth. And I know I could go back into my money equations and tell you how much it is. And then we'd have to look back at how many years ago that was and figure up it today. Listen, what they're saying is we don't have the funds to do it. And how many times have we looked out there and said, boy, we can't do this. May I remind you that we're a small church? We really are. I love it when people call us, and I've even seen some missionaries, when they get here, they're kind of surprised at how small of a church we are. And that's okay. It doesn't bother me a bit. But sometimes we get it in our mind that we're not able. You know, one of the most crippling things that can ever happen to a church is when a church thinks that they can't. And honestly, it's probably the most truthful thing, because we can't, but God can. And you see, there's an insufficiency that's here. No one has anything to give. No one has any place. They have no power. They have no opportunity. And we look at this and we could just imagine as they see 5,000 men plus women and children, and there's 12 of them. 12 of them. All right, Lord, we've seen you do some miracles. But how do you want us to do this? I mean, we just got done casting demons out. We just got done preaching. Boy, I mean, they just gave the report of everything that they had done, everything that they had seen, what they had taught. And boy, Jesus has taken them up there to rest. Now we've got 5,000 people in front of us. We haven't eaten. We're tired. And now what do you want us to do? We can't do this. I already shared with you the population of Pembroke. Is we cheat and say it's 3,000, but we're under 3,000. I haven't counted how many's here. Sister Edra, you count how many's here today? How many we got? 28 people in here. That's not 28 families. It's 28 people. Now, with that, Caleb, I mean, you're making 60 grand a year right now, right? Somewhere in there. Lizzie, you're probably right around 49 grand. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Now think of this for a moment. I told you it's not about money. It's about a willingness. The population of Georgia alone, do you think that we could reach Georgia? I mean, just Georgia, just us. Do you think we could reach Georgia? You say, preacher, absolutely not. Georgia has a population of 10.62 million people. United States. Is there a country that needs the gospel more than the United States? 328.2 million people in the United States. How about the whole world? 28 people now. How are we going to reach the whole world? With 7.6 billion people. The gospel message seems so large, and the gospel needs seem so large, and we seem so small. Well, it's because we need the same thing that the disciples needed. We need an instruction of power. Notice what Jesus does. We find in our text over here that there is an instruction of power given when the surrender of little takes place. You see, it's the fact that it wasn't that five loaves and two fish could feed 5,000. It's because they were surrendered to the Master. It's because they were given to the glory of God. Notice, if you would, it was the attitude, not the amount. It was five loaves and two, notice our text. What did he say in verse 9? Small fishes. Now I know that there's a lot of fishermen in here, and there's a lot of other liars too. And it doesn't matter how big or how small. The one that got away is always the biggest. Amen. It broke my line. And you know how it was the biggest? Because it broke my line. I had reeled in all these others and didn't have any problem. So it had to be the biggest. Boy, I saw it. And if you would tell someone, did you get it out of the water? Well, almost. I saw it break the water. And there was 3 foot from the mouth of it to the fin. The back fin. Not the tail fin. Amen. And we begin to elaborate. And then the next time, it's going to be, but what did the Bible record it as? Two small fish. You know why? He landed them. They were there. They were present. Two small fish. What he's saying is, look, there really wasn't enough but to feed a lad. And yet God fed 5,000. Plus women and children. Now, notice this. Take your Bibles now. You don't have to hold your place in Mark anymore, but take your Bibles and turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Why do we fail so many times to see God use us to feed 5,000? Because we don't expect Him to. Or, Lord, I'll give you a little. I'll give you 4 and 1. I'll give you 3 and a half. But I'm going to need this. And we don't expect Him to really reach 7.6 billion people with us. We expect Him to do it with others, but we don't expect Him to do it with us. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Hold on a second. You see where the problem lies? It's where we purpose in our heart. That's the problem. You see, we've never been a part of feeding 5,000. And you say, preacher, I'm part of the Faith Promise Missions. Preacher, I'm part of our missions program. I'm excited about missions. But how many times do you look at it as you being used of God? God used the lad to feed 5,000 plus, not the disciples. Now I realize that the youngest ones in here are the twins. But could you imagine, Jeremiah's going to turn 5. Mama sends Jeremiah. Now, for one, Mama would never do this, all right, without Mama being there. But Mama sends Jeremiah, and she's packed him a bag lunch, and he's going to go and he's going to listen to Jesus. How many in that multitude thought that that lad could really be a part of help? Even Andrew, when he brought him up, said, well, we've got a lad here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? You can tell that he didn't even expect God to do anything. You know, we don't expect God to really use us. Not today, it's 2020. You realize all the bad that's happened in 2020? I mean, God's really going to do something big in 2020? I think he's trying to. I think he's trying to. He said, preacher, I thought he was all powerful. Yeah, we're the hindrance. He wants to use us. He wants to do more through us. He wants to reach multitudes. He wants to reach millions. He wants to reach 7.6 billion. But we haven't purposed that in our heart. Verse 7 again, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Huh. So I find that the instruction of power begins as soon as we're willing to surrender our little. May I tell you, even if you think you have a lot, you have a little compared to God. You do. He's able to supply way more. Did you not see that last verse? He's able to give it more. May I remind you that the lad got filled as well? He was part of that. He was part of the ones that ate. Some have said that that lad would have taken those 12 baskets full home. I don't believe so. I can't prove it, but I don't believe so because of what I had already told you, that the disciples had came and they still didn't have anything, and there's 12 of them. Isn't it kind of ironic that there was 12 baskets full? You realize that when they loaded the ships, they had empty baskets, and then they got fed. Whoo! They had fed everyone else, and God filled them too. You know what He'll do with you when you give your little? He'll fill you too. And so I find the supply of the Lord. Notice, if you would, it was orderly. You know one of the problems that people have today? They think that they're just going to throw it up in the air. And listen to me. There's some great programs out there. There really are. I know I was giving grief to the Red Cross. I'm thankful for the Red Cross. I really am. I'm not against it. I'm thankful for some of those out there, but they're not the church. They're not the church. They didn't get the commission to take the gospel. I'm thankful for the Salvation Army. It started out with a very great direction, a great leader, and had the desire. Listen, it wasn't just to put clothes on someone's back. It was to preach the gospel. But may I tell you that the gospel commission wasn't given to the Salvation Army. It was given to the church. May I tell you whose responsibility it is to feed the multitude with the truth? It's us. The church. Us. Right here. The 28 that's here today. It's our responsibility. God has given it to us to do. And it's going to be orderly. It's going to be the right way. It's not just throwing it up in the air and saying, boy, you ever go to Lake Mayer in Savannah? You ever go out there? One of the things that we used to like to do, and I guess the seagulls and the geese are probably COVID-free. We'd be all right to still do it. And Jeremiah was younger, and we'd take and get from the Walmart over there, we'd get some of their going out of date bread. And we'd say, hey, listen, the seagulls and the geese, I'm not buying them $2 loaf bread, all right? I'm going to buy them 50-cent bread. Amen? And so you say, preacher, why is that? Because I eat 50-cent bread. Amen. If it's too good for them, whew, they don't need to eat. And so what we would do is we'd just take some bread and we'd rip it off and we'd throw it up there. And it was really, I didn't know seagulls can hover. Do y'all know seagulls can hover? They can. They will hover. They will actually take it right out of your hand. And they'll poop on you too. Amen. And boy, we'd take it out there. You know what a lot of folks are trying to do? They'll take those barley loaves that God's blessed them with and they just throw them up in the air and say, Lord. And I find that the birds come and they take it away instead of allowing God to ever do anything with it prosperous. You remember what Abraham did when he had laid the sacrifice out? He had to chase off the birds. Why? Because, you see, Jesus said, put them in orderly fashion. Get them organized to where we can do this. I don't believe that we need to just throw the Lord's money and do everything that just because someone says that they're coming in the Lord's name. It should be done right. And then I find as well with this, as God's supply comes, it's going to come in an orderly fashion, but then I find it's also going to be brought, it's going to bring glory to God. You say, preacher, how's that? You remember when Jesus gave thanks? He didn't give thanks to the lad. He gave thanks to the Father. He recognized God the Father as being the provider of all of it. Everything that's done through the supply of the Lord will bring glory to the Father. I find as well that it's going to be broken. You know what he did after he gave thanks? He broke it. May I tell you that every sacrifice you ever have, the flesh is going to need to be broken? May I tell you that he had to break the flesh in order to distribute the flesh, and we've got to come to the place that every sacrifice has to be broken self, or it'll never be to the glory of God. I find as well that it was distributed. He gave it to the disciples, and the disciples weren't to hold on to it. Can I tell you something? That everything God's ever given you, he's given you so that you can give it back. Everything. You know what we did with our boys, all three of them? God gave them to us. We gave them back. I don't know how to raise them. I don't know how to parent them. I don't know how to prepare them. But Lord, you do. You say, preacher, you've got all these possessions. No, God does. God has them. I try to use them for His glory. You see, the disciples weren't to have it. Jesus didn't break the bread and here, let me feed my 12 first. You see, that's where we kind of get this mistaken with this feeding of the 5,000. God was going to take care of them. But you know why He gave it to the disciples? Because they were to pass it on. You know what we normally do? I don't even know if I have any in here. This is what we normally do, and they're not going to see me on YouTube, and I'm going to break all kinds of restraints. But that's normally what we do. Did you notice that that selfish man right there didn't even look down the road to see if anyone else wanted that calendar? Sorry, brother. But is that not normally what we do? God gives it to us and we go, thank you, Lord. And I'm not saying we're wrong. Thank Him, praise Him. But then do we go, Lord, now what do you want me to do with it? Let me look around. And Lord, you gave it to me. Now what can I do with it for you? He gave it to the disciples after He broke it. Then the disciples were to pass it on to their groups. Thank you that you learned from Brother Stephen. Daddy didn't raise no dummy. find it was distributed, but then I find as well that it's sufficiently satisfied. The Bible tells us here in verse number 12, when they were filled. Now I want you to picture this. We've already looked at it. There's 5,000 men plus women and children sitting in a grassy area, all comfortable. Maybe it's an 84 day and not a 95 day. You know what I'm talking about? And they're just sitting back there. Whew, they just had a meal. Hold on a second. Hey, is there any more? Hey, I'd sure take another bite. And there was plenty to go around. They were filled. You know, one of those, whew, that was a good meal. I'm not talking about that they were weighted down now. I've had some meals where it's like, whew, not going there again. No, they were filled. In fact, we could read on in John chapter number 6 and we'd find that they followed him again. Why? Because they wanted some more bread. When's the last time that you've been sufficiently satisfied? He'll still fill today. You see, God's supply is the fact that it fills us. It fills our every need. Oh, this world is out there. They're looking for all of these desires to fill and to satisfy, to fall short every time. And yet God's still supplying. Oh, how desperately we need to let them know that there is still the bread of life that's going to supply, satisfy in that supplying. And I find as well that it's going to be abundant. You say, preacher, how's that? Because not only were the people filled, but there was 12 baskets filled of the fragments which remained. God broke it, God multiplied it, and God made it flow over. He took those 12 baskets. The Bible says that those 12 baskets were filled of the fragments which remained over and above what was already eaten. He just fed, and listen, let's just say that there was 5,000 men, and those 5,000 men were married. Now, I know you're going to say, preacher, not every one of them was married. Just bear with me for a minute. We're going to look at an average. 5,000 men. And then they had their wives with them. And then let's just say that each one only had one child, which was not likely. They would have had more. But then because some of them wouldn't have been married, I think as an average we could say. Now, that's 5,000 times 3. Now, for some of you that are counting it up on your toes, you're going to run out. That's 15,000 people. 15,000 people. And God just fed them off of 5 loaves and 2 small fish. From a little boy that was willing to put it in the Lord's hands. Say, I can't feed them, Lord, but you can. It's yours. I don't know where those 12 baskets went, but it does make sense to me that God already knew the needs of the disciples. That they had an empty basket, and God said, let me fill you up. That boy didn't have 12 baskets with him. He only had 5 loaves and 2 small fish. That's it. I don't know. I'm not going to argue it, but I do want you to think about it. Would you be willing today to allow God to speak to you about putting it in His hand so that He could feed 5,000 or maybe 7.62 billion people? You say, preacher, is that really possible? Not with you, but with God it is. With God it is. Could you imagine if that little boy would have sat back and said, I can't do anything? He's right, he couldn't. But with what he had, what God had already blessed him with, he said, Lord, I'm going to give it to you so that you can use it. I'm not telling you to go sell your house and to give it to the Lord. If God speaks to your heart, by glory to God. But that's not what I'm trying to tell you. But what I am trying to tell you is that He's blessed you for a purpose. Would you put it in His hand and let Him bless you more? Do you understand that we might not know this little boy, But there was 15,000 people that were blessed by him. And I'm going to show you later how there was more. Not tonight. You'll see that tonight. I won't keep preaching to you. And not a single one of us know his name. And we've been blessed by him already. Because he put it in the Lord's hands. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Lord, I need you. I need you to help me, Lord, that I would truly know your desire and your heart for me. Lord, that you would change my heart, that stony heart that so often gets wrapped up in self and the temporal things of this life. Lord, that I would desire to stay focused on you. Lord, that I would just put it in your hands, that it would be to your glory and your honor in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This music softly plays. God spoke to your heart today. I encourage you to just seek his face. I know we don't necessarily come to the altars doing that social distance and that restriction. But I wonder what God's dealing with you about today. Maybe you'd say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I really haven't been doing and giving to him and putting it in his hand." I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your life. See, if God has your heart, he has all of you. We've seen there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that purpose in our heart.
You never know what God can do.
We've said that we're just a little church. We have no idea how many people that we've touched through Faith Promise Missions. But there's some that are sure thankful that the light shone their way because we were willing to put it in God's hands. Purpose in your heart this month. Lord, what do you want for me to do in missions? How do you want me to be involved?
With an old rusty bus on a cold winter's morning.
What do you want me to put in your hands?